On today's episode of the Galveston Ghost Podcast, it's all about the angels. Welcome to episode 11. I'm Jim O'Neill, and thanks to Ghost Hunter Kate, we have a very interesting interview with angel intuitive and author Kathy Ketching. She also is the owner of Mysticats, a pretty cool place on the Strand in Galveston, Texas. The Galveston Ghost Podcast is brought to you by GalvestonGuy.com, places to stay and things to do on the island of Galveston, Texas.
Kathy Ketching is considered an angel intuitive, a medium. Some even call her a channeler. She's written a book called Angel Talk that tells about her miraculous healing that has occurred with her ability to talk to divine beings. She's very open about speaking of her experiences, and she really wants other people to learn. She and her husband owned a shop on the Strand called Mysticats that is known for the spirit activity there in the store, but they also have great stories of their paranormal investigations.
We're at Mysticats in Galveston, Texas, and my name is Kathy Ketching, angel intuitive and author. In 2007, I was diagnosed with a rare muscle disorder that was not treatable. I decided at some point that I wanted to be healed, and I did what I'd call alternative methods of healing, which is visual imagery, prayer, talk to your angels, hypnosis, meditation. And interestingly enough, in October of 2011, I became clairaudient. So I started to hear the angels talking, and a month later, I was healed. When I started to hear, as you have read in the book, and you could go back to that because it's a ghost thing now, I was listening for EVPs. On a recording I had done. So that's probably, my angels are talking to me a little bit now. It's probably where the intrigue factor will come in to conjoin, you know, it's not, they're not separate. So it was kind of like the spirits. And when I say, I use the word interchangeably and some people don't. Ghost, spirits, souls, soul beings. Mm-hmm. Okay, so these are departed people that are on the other side. So it was kind of interesting because I felt very drawn to want to talk to my mother-in-law, and she was a very big part in my life, and I just thought, I kept dreaming about her, and I just thought, she's trying to tell me something. So I believed in the supernatural. I believed that, you know, the dead could communicate, and so I did recordings trying to get, what is she trying to tell me? Now, I have to back this up a little bit. I had already gone to several psychics trying to get information because I was a big believer that there's something out there and I need to know what they can help me, how they can help me, what do they want me to know. So in hindsight, I realized it was not to be revealed yet because it wasn't. And I had a couple of really good psychics. So anyway, the interesting part of going to that cemetery where my mother-in-law was buried at and trying to do a recording, which kind of got me on this road to listening for the EVPs. And I do believe that listening to all of that white noise is what conditioned my auditory nerve. Because hearing voices from beyond is stimulating to the nervous system. And to hear them all the time, or not necessarily the voices, but a constant sound or a constant tone can be unsettling if you are not accustomed to it. So I encourage people not to worry about tinnitus, by the way. I have to throw that out there at you. So anyway, so listening to all that white noise. And then, you know, as you read in the book, it was really weird because I took the headphones off and I could still hear voices. And it was really interesting because I thought I was hearing the deceased talking to me. And then I was gauging what I was hearing versus what I had seen on TV about, you know, how they communicate and you get blurbs of words, mm-hmm. but you don't get sentences. I never saw where anybody had sentences like I was hearing. So I thought, well, this is kind of strange, you know, because I'm hearing more than what they do on the professionals, you know. So when the tone shifted in the what I was hearing, it shifted to like a higher frequency, and I did actually hear, I really think it was my wind chimes on the back porch that tinkled, because I could hear them occasionally, But then I was hearing other stuff. So the frequency started to change as far as what I was hearing, and that's when I really thought, this is not ghost. This is not ghost stuff. This is not my dad, my mother-in-law. This is higher level. And that's when my thoughts shifted over. This has got to be angels, you know. And so after that, I guess they knew, okay, we fully awakened her. She understands it's us. We can talk to her more. And then I started to be able to hear more. So I guess, you know, part of what I like to help people with is not be afraid of the spirit world, you know, that your perception of them is, it's our perception. And I have to admit, there were times, I mean, I had things happening in the house after I came home from the cemetery. Nothing like major, but the dog barking at furniture, and, you know, felt like somebody brushed the top of my hair. And I was afraid, only because society said to be afraid. I had incorporated that. And now I look back and I go, oh my gosh, you know what they were doing? They were just letting me know you were having an experience in certain ways. It forced me to learn a particular prayer. Not that the prayer, I would have been healed regardless, because they want me to clarify this. But the prayer, the repetition of the words helped me when I was in a rocky place in the hospital, because I knew it, and I could go to that memory that I had just formed about what the all the words to the prayer, and it gave me comfort. You see what I'm saying? Because the prayer was representative. It didn't mean I had to say the prayer to get healed, but it was a comfort level. So it was just amazing as to how the deceased still, they help us. And I think that's where society's really gotten this wrong. It's not always about us trying to help these spirits cross over or find peace and happiness, because I'm under the assumption that most of them are very peaceful, very happy. They are now soul beings, and they are assigned to help their loved ones, the ones they were connected to, in their mission, to finish their mission here on Earth. Now I can see it a little clearer, and that's what the angels have told us to remember. You know, they're really helping us. And but it's kind of an interesting, I guess, angle. But I'm not afraid of anything on the other side.
Yeah, I think that in all of my experiences, it's been positive. They had something to tell me, or they had something to tell me, or they wanted to show me something.
Mm-hmm.
So how long have you had your store down here?
We bought a jewelry consignment shop in, I think, November of 2012. So I was healed in November. I heard the angels talk to me in October of 2011. I was healed in November 2011. That first year was when I got all my training, like not all of it, but I got a lot of training from them, guided to, you know, find something to do. I knew I didn't want to go work for anybody else. Mm-hmm. So they guided me into that jewelry shop. So we bought it 1 year later, formed my own company. You know, it was kind of an exciting time. Sign some paperwork. That's how you form a company. pay a little money, put a name on it. And then we actually spent 3 years at a different location with mainly jewelry, always intending to expand into the metaphysical stuff, because I felt like this is what people want. They want it to help them heal. Nothing scary about it. Just get a connection to, you know, their source or Mother Earth or the crystals, something to reach out and to ask for, you know, healing. So we spent 3 years over there, and then we moved to this location. And so we've been here a little over 2.5 years.
And this itself is a special location.
Yes, this building we're in right now is very well occupied. Was before we got here, and I don't know if it's more or less now because we're here, and it doesn't really matter. But yeah, there's been all kinds of stories. This was supposed to have been the Civil War hospital. You know, I'm not 100% convinced of that, because I had heard things about the Henley building being, you know, I don't know if they were the morgue and we were the hospital, yeah, or vice versa. I haven't read it. I'm repeating what was told to me.
Sure.
So at any rate, it was here during the Civil War and served as either a morgue or a hospital, and also as not really a mustering point, but a headquarters at some point, mm-hmm, with both sides. We were occupied by the Union. I don't know if you probably know that. So this is kind of what I read. And I was trying to memorize all of it, and I didn't get it all down. But the fact that there were soldiers in the building, and then either, whichever way, hospital or morgue, there's going to be, departures from this location, and as well as the 1900 storm. And any other event, yellow fever, not real sure what all the building served as, but, we have to kind of, buildings and locations are important, but it doesn't mean that somebody that died across the street couldn't come over and manifest over here.
Sure.
So we can't limit ourselves to just location. But it helps us to wrap our head around it. Civil War Hospital, it's probably Civil War activity, or morgue for the 1900 storm. We're going to go to the 1900 storm victims. So the location is just to give us information. Because my parents could pop in here at any point. They're not limited by any kind of space or time.
I agree. My father has come to Texas, to Wisconsin. Where I go, he has gone.
So. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
So one of the forms that people talk about, that the spirits, or some people call them ghosts, but the spirits coming in are in orbs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you've experienced, correct?
Oh, yeah. We have a security system set up, and of course it runs 24/7, and there was like 4 or 8 infrared cameras, and I bet my angel said, I got to back this up, because we started to have the activity at our old location. We didn't document orbs over there, but we documented a pair of pliers moving.
And that was at your other location?
At the other location, yeah. So that's kind of where it started, and then we moved over here. That continued to happen here, plus we got this bonus of now we can see all these orbs. We periodically will do what I call a dust test as well, because I want to debunk it if I can. We've seen dust, we've seen bugs, we've seen spider webs, all the little creepy crawlies that come out at night, and some others like mice, So I feel like we're getting a really good handle on what we can throw away as just some sort of, dust activity, mm-hmm. versus that's an orb. So that's a spirit presence. There's occasionally, sometimes we can't distinguish. And, we've got so much documented. I just tell my husband, I said, if it's not just like really clear that this is not a bug, we're going to discard it. And but the orb activity is pretty interesting. It doesn't seem to happen at a particular time. I think that's going to be a question somewhere at a certain time of the night. And I have to state here that orbs or spirit activity doesn't just happen at night. It's only because it's easier to capture it on video, mm-hmm. or with the camera, because of the lack of the light, the daylight. So it's not that it's just they come out at night. And I think that's where the misnomer came about, with the ghosts come out at night and people are afraid of night, so now people are afraid of ghosts and blah, blah. You know how I'm saying? It kind of goes all together. But yeah, it's just a better way we can see them.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend of mine who lives kind of by the yacht club, mm-hmm. and she has video daytime.
They don't know what time it is.
Right. He came to play with his granddaughter.
Oh, awesome.
And she sat there and she watched it and she chased it and they played together. And
wow.
Yeah, so it's one of the few I've seen that's actually during the daytime, which was so interesting to see.
Yeah. Yeah. If the light is just right and you can capture it with your, or whatever equipment we have at the time, we're going to see a whole lot more.
Yeah. Do you feel the presence of your angels and people here?
I'm not sure. I think I'm at the point now where I feel their presence all the time. It's hard to say when, if they come in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Let me back that up. There are times, though, that I do feel different things. I feel like there's presence in here all the time, and so I'm kind of used to that. But there are times when I feel like there's a little change, like maybe there's somebody at a particular location, or
energy might be shifting or it's ramped up or whatever. That's not all very often. Mm-hmm. That's actually more likely for me to experience it at another location. So like over at the Galvez, you know, I have an easier time distinguishing between what I'm just feeling all the time and then, oh, there's energy over there. Energy is felt from electrical activity. And so if you were standing near a transformer, you're going to feel electrical energy. And it is very similar to supernatural energy. And I learned this, and this is what's so cool, because I know the angels put me at the right place at the right time to learn this stuff. Mm-hmm. We went on an investigation with Dash Beardsley several years back, and it was at, it was Luigi's at the time. It's Rondo's now. And we were upstairs, let me just back up, a friend of mine, who incidentally works for the power company, okay? This was like, okay, this is just too weird. He and I were upstairs, and we were at the end of one of the long hallways, and he and I both felt something. I mean, I couldn't, you know, I mean, I was hearing everything at the time, so I was fully aware of all of this. But I walked to the end of the hallway, and I said, well, it feels kind of strange back here, and it's just, it almost felt... it's not a scary feeling, but you could interpret it as a scary. It's uneasy because you felt the energy. So he felt it, and he says, wow, he's looking around. He goes, I wonder what's in this closet. Well, he went ahead and opened the door to a closet, and it was all of the electrical circuitry, breaker boxes, and everything. And he said, there's your source. And then he looked out the window, and there's right out that window is the huge transformer that's in the alley. And I said, wow, okay, so we just got a lesson. There may or may not be any ghosts right here, but we now know what it feels like. Mm-hmm. Because this is tangible, palpable, whatever you want to call it. Palpable is the correct term. But it's so similar to paranormal activity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I caution people that are ghost hunting to look for the normal, look for what can be explained away. You know, if there's energy, if you feel a huge amount of energy in this location and you want to make sure it's paranormal, you better know what's on the other side of the wall, because if there's a huge breaker box over there, you're going to have to discard part of it.
Right.
Because it could be explained. So that's a couple of things that I've learned along the way. And, you know, it just helps, I think, with credibility.
Mm-hmm. You know? I think my sister and I spent the night in 501.
Oh, did you? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was pretty interesting, but we were using the EVP as we were going around, and that's how we learned it, too, because the ice machines in the hallway, and my sister's eyes would get real wide, and I'd say, it's the ice machine. It's, you know, look. It's, you know,
okay.
There's no, and then when we were in a wide open space downstairs and it would go off, I'd say, that is, you know, now we have to feel, what is this? Where
mm-hmm.
are we?
Mm-hmm.
This
yeah.
is definitely different.
Yeah. Well, the spirit world as well as our angels will communicate through the available sounds, is what they're saying, in the area. So even though you might have been, if you're hearing an ice machine working, and they could use that sound to speak through it. So you have to be careful about discarding all of it.
Such an interesting conversation with Kathy Ketching, and we've got much more coming up in the next episode. She'll be talking in a lot more detail about how to listen for angels, and also tell us more about her three books. The first was Angel Talk, a true story of one woman's miraculous healing and the angels who got her through it. Book number two, which is the guidebook to Angel Talk, where you learn to communicate with angels and other divine beings. And her most recent book, called Healing Through Angel Talk, learning how angels can heal your mind, body, and soul. And those are all available at her shop in Galveston on the Strand called Mysticats, and also online at Amazon.com. That next episode will be out very soon, so be sure to subscribe and you'll be notified when we release it. And of course, if you're enjoying the Galveston Ghost Podcast, do give us a 5-star review and share it with your friends. And thanks again to GalvestonGuy.com, places to stay and things to do on Galveston Island. We'll pick up again with our conversation with Kathy Ketching next time, and we hope you'll join us right here on the Galveston Ghost Podcast.